answer some questions. So during the sermon, please pay attention and write down any questions you have, any comments, and I will try to answer them. Do you know what is the distinctive belief of the Christian faith? Someone asked this to C.S. Lewis once, and his answer was that the distinctive belief in Christianity is the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, the incarnated God who loved us out of pure grace and came down and died for us so we could be forgiven and be with Him forever. That's the distinctive belief of the Christian faith. And this belief is shocking for the human mind. And that's why it's so rejected and opposed by any other religion on the earth. You don't find that atonement, that justification in any other religion. Only in Christianity through Jesus. And all of us have started our Christian life through that truth. But we still have a problem. And it's a big problem. It's called sin. We still have sin in our lives. And our sin makes us feel condemned and apart from God, doesn't it? And maybe because you don't read the Bible enough. Maybe because you don't pray enough. Maybe because your eyes go to the wrong place and you are struggling to control them, or your mind goes to the wrong place. Maybe you were weak and you lie for fear of the consequences. And you feel terrible because this has happened many times. And you are struggling with that condemnation. Yes, brothers and sisters, sin is a huge, terrible enemy of our souls. And the question is, should you quit because you are not good enough? Should you stop praying because you feel like God doesn't want to listen to you because of your sins? Should you try something different from Jesus? Well, last week we saw that there is an eternal place called heaven where Christians will be with God forever and we will have rest with Him and we will enjoy His blessing. And the question is, if I have these problems of sin in my life still, would I make it? How can I be sure that Jesus is capable to justify me before God and bring me with Him to heaven forever? How can I be sure? Well, the Christians who were the recipients of the letter to the Hebrews, they had the same struggle. And they were tempted to disbelieve that Jesus was able to justify them because of their sins. That's why the author of our text reminds them that they confess Jesus and the sufficiency of His word and His work. And he says, that's enough. He's saying, yes, sin is your present problem, but you also have a present solution. Yes, you can be sure God will take you with Him to His rest because Jesus is the Son of God, the perfect high priest designated by God to justify you from all your sins. But let's see how our text explains that and give us assurance about this. Let's start with our present solution from chapter 4, verse 14 to 5, verse 3. our present solution. Jesus is our holy, empathetic high priest. And verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was tempted in everything, yet without sin. In the Gospel of Luke, maybe your mind goes there. In the Gospel of Luke, we have an account of Jesus' temptations. The devil tempted Jesus when he was hungry, and he used his physical needs to tempt him and make him sin. But Jesus didn't fall into this trap. The devil also tempted Jesus to put God's promise to test. But Jesus didn't fall into this trap. He even offered Jesus all the riches of all the countries on the earth and all their glory if Jesus worshipped him. But Jesus didn't fall into this trap neither. Luke also suggests that Jesus was tempted in many other ways, but as our verse 15 says, he never sinned. He was even tempted to quit and not going to suffer on the cross. That's why chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, "Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him." So he was tempted, even in the last moment, but he didn't fall on this trap. And when I say, just let me explain, when the text says that Jesus was made perfect, it's not saying that Jesus was imperfect before. The text is saying he passed the test. He didn't fall into this trap. And by that, he wasn't perfected. He demonstrated his perfection, which is something different. And the fact that Jesus was tempted is good for us, because this is the very reason why he has sympathy for us when we are tempted. And this leads to our next truth. Jesus has sympathy for sinners. Let's read chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. "For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. And he can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness." And we continue reading, "Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people." And here, the author is referring to those priests in the Old Testament. And he's saying that they were sinners like us. So they had sympathy for the sinners. And that's the point here. Jesus had the same sympathy. Not because he sinned, but because he was tempted like us. And he helps the weak, the ignorant, and wayward. He helps those who, like him, are tempted by their physical desires. Those who struggle with their gluttony. Those whose sexual desires are more intense and are more tempted to have sex outside marriage, or watch pornography. Those who are irresponsible with their sleep and prefer to have more sleep than wake up and work and pray and read the Bible. He has also sympathy for those who, like him, are tempted to put God's promise to test, thinking that unless he answers their prayers, he doesn't love them. Oh God, you have to do this, because if you don't, I will stop being a Christian. Jesus is also patient and gentle with those who struggle with the wealth and fame this world offers them. Those who love the treasures of this world. Those who, like Peter, say, I don't know Jesus. He's patient with them. Yes, brothers and sisters, Jesus, our perfect high priest, is gentle, loving, and patient with sinners like us. And maybe you are wondering, well, in which ways is he patient and gentle with us? Well, let me tell you, in the same way the high priest was gentle and patient with the people of Israel. The high priest was a man who offered sacrifice for the sins of the people, and he had hard work to do. He started outside the tabernacle. Let's make his journey. He started outside the tabernacle, killing the animals on the altar of bronze to offer sacrifice to God. Then he burned that those animals on the same altar. Then he had to enter the holy tent with the blood of that animal, praying and making a ritual, then go through the veil into the most holy place, and then that holy place was the place where the Ark of God was. That was known as the throne of grace, the throne of mercy, or the seat of mercy, which is named in verse 16. And then, on that throne of mercy, he had to put the blood of the sacrificed animal and pray for the people so they could be forgiven. That was his job, once a year. And this high priest didn't get upset with the people, because that was his job. He was there for that. And he was a sinner like them. So he had sympathy for them. He didn't say to them, you know what, I'm so tired of offering these animals each year for your sins. When are you going to learn? When are you going to stop sinning? He didn't say to them, you will never learn. I'm so disappointed by you. I hate you. Don't come here anymore. No, he didn't say that. And in the same way, Jesus will never, ever say that to his people. And by his people, I don't mean those who call themselves Christians, but they don't care about Jesus. They don't love them. They don't love him. By his people, I mean those who truly want to honor Jesus and obey him, but they still struggle with sin. Those are his people. And if you are one of us, if you are one of God's people, let me tell you that Jesus has sympathy for you. He has offered himself as a sacrifice for your sins, and that sacrifice still makes you holy and acceptable before God. Yes, you are upset. In fact, if you go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brothers. Holy brothers. Really? Well, he's calling them holy brothers not because they were holy, not because they didn't have sin, but because of Jesus' work. Their sins were clean. So they weren't guilty anymore. That's also for you and me. And we must understand this because, as I said before, sin is a terrible enemy for us, and many people are defeated by it. And they are defeated because they don't hold on to Christ and His perfect work at the cross. Let me tell you a story about Joel. Joel was a man, a Cuban man I met. And he came to church, and he passed through different churches because he had a struggle. He had a struggle with sin. He had a same-sex attraction. And he couldn't understand how God, how Jesus could help him to deal with his desires. And he felt condemned all time. And not only this sin, other sins were threatening him. And we talked to him about Jesus and about his work on the cross and about his work as our high priest, the one who justifies us and cleans us from our sins, the one who makes us holy, who declares us holy. But he couldn't hold fast to that truth, so he left. Sin is a terrible enemy, but we have a solution in Jesus. And I will say this again, brothers, there is no sin that Christ cannot forgive you for. None. Homosexuality, bad temper, lies, laziness, doubts, killing, stealing, nothing can separate you from God's love. And the reason for that is that Jesus wasn't appointed by himself. He wasn't appointed by God to be our high priest, to do that work for us. If we read verses 4 and 5, "And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" So he's comparing Jesus to Aaron here, and he's saying, well, Aaron was chosen by God in the same way Jesus is chosen, was chosen by God. And for maybe you don't know Aaron, Aaron was Moses' brother, the first high priest. And he was, you know, the one who offered sacrifices on behalf of his people. But believe me, Aaron wasn't a perfect high priest. He was sinful like us. So in that respect, Jesus was even better than Aaron because he never had sin. So he could do a better job than Aaron. So the point here is Jesus is appointed by God like Aaron, but even better. But furthermore, the author says that Jesus is a priest like Melchizedek. And the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness, which makes the point of Jesus has no sin. Look at verse 6, it says, "As he says also in another place, 'You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.'" And then his work as a priest was not only at the cross 2,000 years ago, but lasts to this very day and will last forever, because Jesus is a high priest forever. He continues to intercede and mediate for us before God. And furthermore, he sacrificed himself not only as a man, but as the Son of God. If you read in chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Since then we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God." And then in chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "So Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, 'You are my son.'" And also in verse 8, it says, "Although he was a son." So the author is making the point, but Jesus was not only a man. Jesus was not only a designated high priest. He was God himself. And that's why his work is superior. And you can trust it. And that's why it says in verse 7, "In the days of his flesh." Because he had this double nature. So as a man, Jesus was able to sympathize with us. But as God himself, he was able to carry all our sins. No man's lives can pay for, you know, all mankind's lives. That's impossible. But Jesus, the Son of God, can do it. And that's the point in these verses. Yes, you can trust that Jesus can forgive all your sins and bring you to heaven because he is a man like you, so he understands your weakness. And at the same time, he is God himself, so he is powerful enough to bring you with him to heaven. And that's why you can trust Jesus' work on your behalf even more than the people of Israel trusted Aaron's work. Jesus is better. And this leads us to our present response. What should be our present response to this high priest work? Well, it's in verse 14, "Let's hold fast to our faith in Jesus." Let's hold fast to our faith in Jesus. Let's read verse 14 again. "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession." Verse 16, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And the idea here is that Jesus is the high priest who made his sacrifice at the altar of bronze. And then he walks toward God's tent while we stay behind because we know we don't have right to enter that tent. We don't have right to enter into God's presence. But then Jesus walks back and takes us by the hand and brings us into God's tent. And, you know, we at this point we are really, terrified. We shouldn't be here. But we are here because Jesus brought us. But then Jesus opens the curtain to the most holy place, the place where the throne of God is, and we cover our eyes because we don't want even to see that, because we fear that we are going to die, because that's the presence of God. And we are sinful people. But Jesus, again, takes us by the hand and introduces us into the most holy place. Then he puts his blood before God the Father and he says, "You are fine here. You are accepted. You can talk to the Father because I have brought you here. You are with me." That's what Jesus is doing for us. And the Father is surely listening to us. not because you are holy, not because you are perfect, not because you don't make mistakes, but because you are with Jesus and because he has paid for you. Can you believe this? This is true. And that is what Jesus, our perfect high priest, has conquered for us. So let's have confidence in his perfect work. Let me tell you what Martin Luther, the reformer, said. He says, "I have desisted to the idea that there is anything good in my heart. I just cling to Christ and say, he is my righteousness." He also said, as a Christian, this is an advice, we must say, I acknowledge no saint here. I am a poor sinner deserving of death, but in defiance of sin and death, I cling to you, and I will not let you go. I have taken hold of you, dear Lord Christ. You are my life. And this is the Father's will, that all who adhere to you have eternal life and be raised from the dead. I cling to you. So, have confidence. You are welcome into God's presence because of Jesus. You will get to God's rest because of Jesus. So instead of running away from God, instead of looking for another solution to your sin, or pretending that you don't have any sin, pray that God will forgive you through Jesus' sacrifice. And our text tells us in verse 16 that we will receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We will receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So whatever your situation is, cling to Christ, hold fast to your confession that he is our perfect high priest, the one that cleans all your sins and brings us into God's presence and will take us with him into heaven forever. Whatever our failures are, as father, as husband, as wife, as a worker, as a friend, as a church member, whatever your sins are, Jesus takes care of them for you. Chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him." He is the source of salvation for you and me. He is the source of salvation for sinners. There is no other source. He is the source. Can you trust him? Brothers and sisters, I finish with another true story. And on the 26th of December 2004, in that very Boxing Day, there was a massive tsunami in the east coast of Asia. I'm speaking about Thailand here, specifically. The waves there of that tsunami were over 30 meters high. Can you imagine a wave that high? And they were so deadly that it killed more than 10,000 people just in that country. 10,000 people in a day. And the survivors have described what they experienced that day. They described big waves coming one after the other, dragging with them all sorts of goods, metal, you know, big cars, you know, structures, glass, rocks, everything. Dragging all those things and throwing them against them. And in the middle of this scene, they thought this would never end, or this will be our end. We will perish here. And they could hear people screaming, being dragged by the big wave. And they could do nothing because they had to take care for their own lives. But the way they survived that was by holding fast to the trees. Many people were holding fast to the trees as the wave were coming against them. And that was what saved them that day. Brothers and sisters, that is a perfect description of life, everyday life. Strong waves of sin are coming against us, trying to drag us, trying to kill us, trying to put us apart from God. And the only way to not be dragged by them is to hold fast to our big, strong tree, the cross of Christ. It's to hold fast to our belief that Jesus paid for all our sins because He is our high priest, our perfect high priest, the one who paid for all our sins, past, present, and future. And because of that, we will inherit heaven forever. Let's hold fast to our faith in Jesus. Let's draw near to the throne of grace with confidence that you are accepted because of Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our perfect high priest. And we thank you because we can stand before you because of Him. There is no beauty in us. There is nothing that we can offer. Only Jesus is our solution. Only Jesus is our righteousness. Thank you for Him. And please help us to hold fast to that truth. Help us to hold fast to that belief. Help us to hold fast to that when we are being condemned by our sin, when we are struggling, when we feel apart from you, when we feel that we won't inherit heaven. Help us to hold fast to Jesus, our perfect high priest. In His name we pray. Amen.